My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Retro Ray.
And my name is Zach.
All right. And before we get started, Ray, I think you want to do a couple of shout-outs.
Yes, one quick shout-out to Dragon's Lair Alamo Ranch, who provides your comics to do comic reviews here on the podcast. And what about you, Zach?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give a special thanks to Lang's Comics and Collectibles out here in Muskegon, Michigan, for providing comics for us to cover on the channel. Stay tuned. We got some coming. Thrawn, Mace Windu, Jango Fett, a couple issues coming up here, so stay tuned, and we will definitely have more content out in regards to comics for you guys.
Heck yeah, here we go. Well, today is a very special day because we not only have an incredible voice actress, but we have a wonderful person that has played this character for a while now, and she has inspired so many people through the Star Wars community, including the voice acting community. And this person that we're talking about is Phoenix Squadron leader herself, Vanessa Marshall. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. That was a great introduction. Thank you.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about and so little time. Ray, do you want to start off with the first question?
So when you got into voice acting, when did you start realizing you pretty much fell in love with voice acting? And because you've done some acting roles as well, but it seems like your career has been focused in voice acting a lot from DC and gaming.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went to college. I majored in English with a degree, like a minor in theater. And I ended up going to graduate school for acting, and I learned all these dialects. And what follows from that for everyone usually is an on-camera acting career. And I pursued that, and I had a part on Law and Order, and I had a part on Scrubs. But what I found in the world of voiceover is that it doesn't matter what you look like. And there's a lot more room for getting a lot more done in the day. When I would have these on camera acting jobs, I would sort of age in the dressing room waiting for the gaffer to get the lighting to do that. So there's not a lot of work that occur. I mean, ultimately, yes, there's plenty of work, but there's so much effort that goes into the look of everything that you just set up a microphone and get it done. With voiceover, it was easier to do more voiceover jobs in a day than it was to do on camera. And I started booking more of the voiceover jobs to the point where I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go where the love is. And I've always kind of been more of a shy person, believe it or not. And voiceover, you're a little bit more invisible, and no one really knows who I am, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, now with social media, I think people are more front facing with their voiceover careers. But back when I started, you never had an image of yourself anywhere because you never wanted anyone to see what you look like, so you could have as much range as possible. And, you know, it just took more so than on camera. I really admire my friends who do on camera because it's quite rigorous. Even the audition process for on camera is a bit of a deal, in the sense that you have to, you know, take a video of yourself. And before, you used to have to drive all the way across town and meet the director and the writer and the this and the that. Whereas, you know, with voiceover, I was always able to just record it and send it, you know? So, there's a lot about the world of voiceover that really worked for me. So I sort of went where the love is and chose it over all the other versions of acting. So That's how that happened. I mean, I was in a one woman show, and an agent heard me do all these different characters and voices and recommended that I try voiceover. And I went in and read for her, and I ended up signing with the agency, and that was CESD, and that was back in 1997. And I've been taking classes awesome. Ever since. I know you guys were like not even on the earth at that point, but anyway, okay. All right, cool. Right on. By the way, like just tangential shout out, like yes to all the comic book shops and like, okay, yo, I think there's like a new Hera comic coming out and like, I don't know where these comic book places are located, but I love doing signings and I'm a complete nerd. So like, I don't know. I do that with, and again, this is just sidebar. Hold on. But I work with CelebWorks and CelebWorks arranges these things. And like, sometimes I'll go and sign pop figures, the pop vinyl figures or different comic books.
Or but no, Blu-rays for Rebels, you know?
Yeah. Whatever you need, bro. I got you. Yeah. So much awesome. Fun. And, I know Ezra has a new pop vinyl that's come out and I think he's going to be doing a lot of signings, but these more sort of local mom and pop comic book stores that you're aware of that maybe my people are not aware of. If you want to set up a signing or something like that, I would love to do that. I love traveling and I love, it's the first thing I do when I go anywhere is like, where's the comic book store? You know, cause you never know what you're going to find. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the long-winded answer plus another shout out. Like when you guys were giving shout outs to the comic book stores, I was like, oh, that's so awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. That means the world to us for sure. Hearing that from someone in your position, you know, how much you care about that. That's incredible. That fills my heart for sure. Just to hear that. That's incredible.
Well, cause I feel like those stores need all the love and amplification that anyone can bring to them. I mean, I tried there's one down in San Diego that I've been trying to get down there. There was a Hera, God, what was it? A Hera. Oh, I guess it was the new pop vinyl Hera where she's in the ship. I have the X-Wing. Yeah. Hera and the X-Wing. Yep. And, I met the guy when I was down there at DreamHack San Diego and I was like, bro, who do you want to come down? Like, let me bring all the Rebels. Like I'll get Taylor and I'll get all these people and we can just like awesome. order a ton of the pop vinyls and let's sign them for everybody and let us meet the fans and da da da. And then I get to look at the comics that they have. And then also they have like D&D games that they play in the comic book store. And I'm like, what, dude? I want to go to every comic book store everywhere. So anyway,
that's awesome.
Having said all that, so I like the invisibility of voiceover at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And it just works for me. And my let me put it this way. I taught a voiceover class this week and there were, there are various people and I'd love to pay it forward and help people amplify their voices, help them find their voice, blah, blah, whatever. And this one dude, he was like, I heard you say about 400 things that I didn't understand. I don't know what Star Wars is. And I don't know anything that you've done. And I have no idea who you are.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, first off, if you've never heard of Star Wars, I don't know how to help you. bro, do you live in a cave? Where are you from? I can understand hard pass on maybe Harry Potter's not your jam, but if you've never heard of Star Wars, I don't know, but it was hilarious. And he thought I was going to be insulted.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I said to him, I said, here's the thing. Some people act to be seen and other people act to hide. And I act to serve narratives that tell stories that I pray heal people and bring people closer together. And it's 100% not about me. Right. And I said, I said, and it's the truth, because like when I went to acting school, they said to us, they said, there are two ways to approach this. One is with your ego, where you're, you know, look at me, or there's another where you have the humility to let the grace of the moment into your heart, to crack it open, to be vulnerable in front of people and be of service to the playwright or whatever it is that you're almost, this sounds very lofty, but almost like a shaman, in the sense that you, you go on this quest for a character so that everyone can be healed through that journey. That's not about, that's a service. That's not an egotistical operation. So I said to the guy, I was like, dude, you picked the wrong lady, because I'm not offended by that. I'm thrilled that you have no idea who I am. I prefer like that makes me happy that you don't know who I am. And I said, how can I help you? You know, like it's just interesting. In that moment, I realized like most people expect actors to want that sort of fame and glory and whatever else. I'm more concerned with whether or not someone's a good person. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's very inspiring. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
you know, really, at the end of the day, like, what does any of that stuff mean anyway? I don't know. I mean, titles, credits, or whatever. People forget them so quickly anyway. I think more importantly is like, what do they say? People are not going to remember how you looked. They'll remember how you made them feel.
Yep. Yeah. Right?
So from that standpoint, that's kind of my goal. But anyway, God bless that guy. I'm sorry he's not here to Star Wars, dude. I'm like, wow. The good news is you have like the best of life is ahead of you, sir.
Yep. That's so cool. Yeah. That's anyway. Awesome. Yeah.
Go ahead, Zach. What you got for
me? Yeah, no, well, I guess this kind of segues into my question a little bit, talking about the stealthiness that comes with voice acting. So for some of our listeners who might not know, you have a second role in the Star Wars universe, and most of our questions are based around Hera, but I wanted to bring up this image with Gar Saxon and Rook Cast.
Yes. So
Gar Saxon here on the left, for those of us who are watching on YouTube, was voiced by the late, great Ray Stevenson. May he rest in peace. And we have Vanessa here on the right for Rook Cast. So I just wanted to ask you a little bit, how is it being approached, or how were you approached for that role of Rook? Even though it's a smaller role, but Clone Wars coming back was such a big deal for people, and seeing your name in the credits was amazing. And it knocked my socks off when that was coming out over COVID. And it was just another layer of excitement for me. I don't know. I could go on and on, but I just want to hear more about that.
Dude, my skull exploded. I got an email. First of all, that there's going to be another season of the Clone Wars. I was like, I can die happy, you know?
Right. Yes.
And like, I don't even, oh my gosh, I was just dying. About as good as I felt when Asajj Ventress was, you know, back from the dead in Bad Batch. I was like,
yes. Oh, yes.
I can't wait.
Gosh.
I mean, I'm like, it's like all is well with the world. But I got an email that said, you know, they would like to offer you this role of Rook Cast. I was like, wait a minute, isn't that Darth Maul's minion? She's a chick with the, you know, the, wait, really? And I remember when I saw Dave Filoni in the lobby, of course I was like, yes, 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 I'll be there anytime, any day. You know, not to mention like Mandalorian for life, like I've got the Mandalorian mercs. Like, I don't know if you can see.
Over here.
Sick. Wait, that right there is their plaque that they gave me under Chewie.
Wow.
Made me an honorary member. Oh, and that's my high school yearbook photo. You can't miss that.
Let's go.
Oh, love the hair.
Yeah,
love
let's go. Hair. You know what? Okay, hold on. Sidebar. I think what I'm going to do on my live stream on Twitch is I am going to cut my hair like that again. Live.
Yes.
Live, bro. I'm going to embrace the mullet in real time, like on the channel. I don't know what day. I don't know. I have to figure out what is the most momentous day to like live the dream.
Let us know. We'll be there.
100%. Awesome. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah. So when I saw Dave Filoni in the lobby, I said, I can die now. you know. Yeah. And he was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, what, please don't die. And I said, no, a Mandalorian, I get to play a Mandalorian. I can die now. And he was like, he goes, I have a lot more planned for you. And I was kind of like, what else could there be? I have no idea what he's talking about. You know, and I went on to do Tales of the Jedi and Little Hera and this and that, and who knows what else. I mean, there have been plenty of fun surprises. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, Sam Witwer is one of the most iconic voice actors in the world. I mean,
awesome.
When Darth Maul, when you heard that like clickety clackety ass, whatever was happening, and you were just like, what? And this like arachnid of a dude comes out and it is Darth Maul in Clone Wars. I was just like, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Like,
I love the fact that you're geeking out right now. Like,
oh my God,
this makes me so happy. It's so cool. Yeah,
dude, same. Oh my word.
So when we did the scenes where Ezra was like being tempted by Darth Maul, I was like, he froze my heart with fear in a way. It was Sam. Yeah. It's just Sam. Like, Sam's the most adorable, dog loving sweetheart of a man in the world. But when you can hear his breathing and his mouth noise and his inhales and all of it, it's just like, okay, no, you know, use the force. And I'm not even a Jedi, but like, he was scaring the crap out of me.
Wow. You're giving me goosebumps. Holy crap.
Dude, bro, to play his minion, I was like, I don't even know what to say, guys. I got nothing. I'm just so grateful to be alive. I don't even know what to say. And anyway, awesome. So we talked about how to make her very different from Hera. And, you know, with that in mind, we gave her the British accent that she put on. Everyone thinks she's the armorer. She is not.
Yes, that's a big rumor right now. Yeah.
Nah. No, I asked Dave. Dave was like, nah. Yeah. All right.
Confirmation. There you go.
I know. Well, I thought it would be an interesting twist down the line, given that she was aligned. Is it Crimson Tide? I mean, if you think about it, okay, Asajj Ventress could go great. She has Dooku, all that. I understand. But if she's going with Highest Bidder, we could get her back to the Alliance. I don't know. But you take someone who was Darth Maul's minion. If Darth Maul is with Crimson Tide, isn't it Crimson Tide? Isn't that the name?
I think it's Crimson Dawn.
Yeah, Crimson Dawn. No, yes, Crimson Tide is the... no, Crimson Dawn. That's it. Crimson Dawn. That you know, that sort of subset of Sith, like, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I know it's not Crimson Tide. It's Crimson Dawn. My bad.
No, it's all good.
But what I'm saying is that if the armorer came from that kind of background, that would be fascinating to me, that she's become this sort of paragon of this is the way, you know, all that jazz coming from the Crimson Dawn background. So anyway, I need more coffee, not Crimson Tide. Sorry. That's an algae phenomenon.
No worries.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Anyway, but it's all very exciting. So when I got to play Darth Maul's minion, it was delightful, and I was so happy. Yeah,
sweet.
So kind of segueing from Zach's question about sneaky voice acting, you also did a voice that I used to hear every day because I was over at I used to work over at Galaxy's Edge. And so I didn't know that you did the announcer's voice as you're coming off of Smuggler's Run until someone told me. But at first I was like, that voice sounds familiar. And then they're like, oh yeah, it's Vanessa Marshall. I was like, oh, and then there were theories like, oh, it's like Hera. It's no. like Hera's voice. And I was no, I don't think so.
Here's a little backstory action on that. So I love doing Imagineering. Fred Tatasciore, a good friend of mine, he's the voice. If you go to California Adventure and you go on that flying ride or whatever, he's the hang glider. He's the hang glider who goes, woo! And we always go, we're like, Fred, yeah. And we got to play like Ewoks and Rebel Pilots on Star Tours a million years ago. But so anyway, they said, do you want to audition for this role? And I knew it was for a Star Wars ride. So I did a voice down in here that she was like, 1-9-9-er. She's going to be really basic and sound nothing like that. And, you know, just really lower register and getting it done and just really all about business. And I auditioned with that. I booked the job and I was like, all right, I'm ready to kill this. And they were just like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing what I did for the audition. They were like, oh God, don't do that. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And they said, just do your regular voice. We love your regular voice. I was like, well, spoiler alert. I did 4 seasons as this voice with someone who actually isn't a huge fan of Hondo. So it might confuse my family members, to hear Hera as like the wingman to Hondo's insanity with the Millennium. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, I think that might be distracting. And they were like, nah, it's fine. And I was like, I'm thinking these guys might be like the other dude who I'm like, have you seen Rebels? I don't know. I just was a little concerned. And they weren't worried about it. And then I thought, oh, they must be pitching it, you know, in post-production. They'll pitch it differently so it doesn't distract or this or that. Just in case, though, I called Carrie Beck, who's one of the producers. And I was like, Carrie, I'm not trying to get myself fired from a job, but I really care about the Star Wars user experience. And I really... And it's not that I'm not saying that the Imagineering people don't know what they're doing, but I said, I just want to give you a heads up that I auditioned with a voice that sounded like this. And I ended up doing Welcome to Smuggler's Run, you know, this hunk of junk, whatever, that sounds very much like Hera. And I'm like, I don't know if you should recommend that they replace me or tell them they need to like tone that down so that it sounds like someone else. But it's a fine detail that people who really care about that ride are going to be distracted by it possibly. So could we maybe address it? And I understand I might get fired, but I care more about like people going like, why is Hera working for Hondo?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And here's the weird thing. No one really had a problem with it. Like I called Dave, finally went to Smuggler's Run and I called Dave and I was like, dude, Did they lower the voice or whatever? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, that was my voice on the Falcon as you that buckling your speech. I was even speaking Spanish, like siéntese, whatever. You know, like I was, I can speak Spanish and understand it. I don't know how to read or write it. So they had me reading Spanish, which I'm like, oh dear. I'm better at just having a conversation. I learned it through my friends and family who speak Spanish and not, in school, unfortunately. I studied French, which is, I guess, useful for Ryloth accent, but other than that, not much.
Yeah.
but anyway, so it turns out that no one really cared and it wasn't a thing. And it's just an interesting story, though.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, the Imagineering people were 100% right that I guess it was better to keep it up in that range and be sort of more upbeat. And I didn't doubt them. I just wasn't sure if they were as huge of Star Wars Rebels fans and maybe they didn't know that this would distract people. I don't know. But not a lot of people were upset by it. So I guess it's fine.
For me, it was wild because as soon as I got there, that was one of the things that the cast members were talking about of being like you hear Hera. And I'm like, I don't think that's Hera. I knew it was you, but for me, for like trying to make sense of the canon, I was like, the storyline could go anywhere. But to me, it was like, I don't think that's Hera. But that's so cool that you had the opportunity.
It wasn't supposed to be Hera. It was supposed to be another pilot. So I tried to make it sound as different from Hera as possible. It's voiced by the actress who voiced Hera. But that's interesting that the cast members even knew it was me. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I think it was different for us though, because we would hear your voice constantly.
God. Sorry, dude.
No, but Yeah, no, of just having that experience of being at Galaxy's Edge has like sure. must have been amazing and like voicing that. But have you had the chance to go? Like, have
I
you
had finally the, went. The I finally went. I was with my best friend, and I was like, "Dude, that's me," you know. And I was like, I was mostly looking at the Sabacc table. Isn't that a Sabacc table in there? Or no, that's not a Sabacc table. What is that? What is that game that Chewie plays?
Yes, that is the game of Jarek.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I was fascinated by that. But yeah, it was really weird. I was happy to see Hondo. That made me very, very happy. Mm-hmm. I was still tripping a little bit to hear my voice. I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But hopefully a lot of people, and even if Dave Filoni was like, what are you talking about? Then all right, never mind. You know what I mean? I listen to whatever Dave says. It's like that guy, he knows everything. And if he was like, I don't understand, like he did not have a problem with it in the least. So I was like, oh, all right, great. Never mind. What do I know?
Dave is the man. Dave's the man.
He is. I guess it was slightly different, but you're right. It isn't Hera, but it is obviously Vanessa.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, sure. I guess I got to meet one of your fellow Rebels castmates, Taylor Gray, last year.
Cool.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan. He was actually the first member of the Star Wars family I got to meet in person at a convention.
Oh,
so cool. That held a very special spot in my heart. But one of the questions I got to ask Taylor was, oh, you got to work with Dave Filoni in the studio. We know he's famous for his cowboy hat. Did he wear that a lot around you guys, or did he only wear that when it was important and to be in front of a camera? And he's like, he honestly almost never wore it unless it was in front of a camera. And I don't want to throw Taylor under the bus, but I wanted to ask you if you could shed some light on that.
Well, yeah, he wears that at events. That's like, that's how you find Dave in a crowd.
Yeah.
That's kind of his signature look in public, I guess.
Sure.
And it differentiates his identity when he's sort of more low key, I think. And it's not an affectation or something like that, but I think it's important. Like, on my stream, I hang out like I'm hanging out right now. Like I'm pretty, I'm just me. I'm a nerd. I don't know. But you know, like I don't have a special beret that I wear when I'm streaming, and like that indicates that's my public self versus my private self. It's probably very healthy to have boundaries, you know, like this is, you know what I mean? So given the amount of just the task at hand for him to be responsible for carrying this torch forward, it probably is wise to delineate, like, this is me in public and this is my private world.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's almost like a, just a way to function with that much attention, that when he puts on the hat, then he's willing to be visible. And when he doesn't have the hat on, he's not in sort of a public mode, but there's nothing there's nothing deceptive or even off-putting about it. It's not like he's saying, talk to the hand, I'm in my hat. There's nothing like that. It's just, that's when he's on and representing the franchise, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Cause obviously we perceive him as wearing the cowboy hat all the time. Cause like in interviews, you know what I mean? Cause obviously we don't know him like you do. Maybe one day, if I'm just kidding, but it's just cool to see that. And thank you for shedding light on it in the sense of you guys, you know, you have your personal lives too. And there's things that we as fans got to be aware of and be respectful of. And thank you for wording it that way. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's funny, Colin. I just had this other thought. Like, I had a friend who worked in Walgreens, and I was the voice of Walgreens for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I would get these texts from her, and she would be like, yo, if you tell me that Wrigley's gum is $2.99 one more time, I'm going to tell you. Funny. It's funny to be friends with me because you end up hearing like, you know, Sprocket, $2.99. Great. Vanessa, please, you know, like your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably heard the line, this ship is practically scrap metal over like 2,000 times.
We got this here from one of our Facebook users saying the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
So very, very important question.
Sure.
Hang on. when you were first cast as Harrison Dula, what was that feeling like? And did you realize the importance of the role that you were stepping into? And how did that shape your career going forward?
Well, yes. When I auditioned for it, it was codenamed Project Wolf.
Nice.
There was a character, something Sandwalker or something like that. And I was like, that sounds like Skywalker. And I just decided to make it about the Rebel Alliance and my own understanding of that, because I could really plug into that and I care about it, you know? And when I got a call back, I was like, oh, that wolf cartoon. Great. I can't wait to do this family of wolves thing. But it didn't occur to me. And it's not that I didn't think like, oh, Dave Filoni, wolf pack, blah, blah, blah. It's not that I didn't. I just never thought that I'd be so lucky and blessed to have anything to do with Star Wars personally, that I just assumed there's no way this is Star Wars. There's no way. There's just no way, dude.
Yeah.
And then when I walked in the room and I saw a picture of a Twi'lek on the wall, and I looked over and I saw Dave and I saw Greg Weissman, that's when I kind of froze and I was like, okay, focus, you know, like don't fangirl out and have a nervous breakdown and like stop breathing and just function as an adult right now. You're a professional. You went to school for this. You got it. Mm. You know, and I did the best I could, and I kept the parking pass from that day because I felt like that's the best my life was ever going to get, was a callback for Star Wars. I was like, I touched Grace for 20 minutes and I was just like, I was going to frame it. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I got a callback. I'm so grateful. I was so happy. And then I found out it was between me and two other women and that everyone had to agree on who gets chosen. And they did. Yeah. And I got it. When my agent called, she asked if I needed a paramedic because I was like hyperventilating. I was sobbing. The thing is, I understood that Disney buying the franchise at that moment was a big deal, that this was going to be the first cartoon born out of that new purchase. There's a lot of pressure. A lot of people were drawing pictures of like Mickey Mouse with, you know, like crushing Darth Vader, or I don't know. You know what I mean? There was a lot of skepticism. Yeah. And I knew that there would be pressure on the storytellers for this first maiden voyage out. And I was honored to be a part of it and prayed that I would just do the best job possible. And I felt that I could count on my love of Star Wars and trust that. And when I walked in and I met Freddie is like way bigger of a nerd than I could ever dare to be, topped only maybe by Sam Witwer, but they're pretty on a par. He would never say Crimson Tide. That's what I mean. Do you know what I mean? I'm a good person and I literally want to wallpaper my soul with everything Star Wars, but sometimes my brain, like, I don't know, dude, sometimes my brain just doesn't work right. And I can't remember exact things. Like, I was on someone else's podcast and they were asking me like TK numbers for clones. I was like, bro, we're going to have a problem. I can tell you what they made me feel. I don't know the numbers, buddy. It's not my strong suit, but I knew Freddie was a diehard fan. Tia wanted to learn as much as possible and was somewhat familiar with it. Obviously, she had just been in that incredible movie. She was dressed up as Princess Leia in the, you know, the famous bathing suit outfit. Like, she's obviously aware of Star Wars. And Taylor had no idea what anything Star Wars was. And Dave was thrilled because he was going to learn about it in real time, just like Ezra did.
Nice. That's so cool.
But what I felt was that there was a level of reverence and care in this chosen group, in this what would become chosen family. And we were able to elevate it together. And there was a playfulness and there was no hater energy. There was no, that's us, man. That was the announcement in 2014 at San Diego Comic-Con. That was a magical magical day. But anyway, I was just blown away by how well cast it was, in the sense that Freddy really was a Jedi to Taylor's Padawan energy. Tia is also a huge New York Giants fan. Sorry if you're a Cowboys fan. I pray for you. You know, just FYI, mad respect for anyone in the NFL, because it's a pretty dangerous game. I really love it. But Tia and I both love New York Giants. And so we were always like talking sports and, you know, look at this Mandalorian chick, you know. I don't know. I was sort of like an older sister to her in terms of helping her with the Star Wars stuff. Hera was very much the nurturing energy. And then Steve Bloom was a kooky, you know, he was always making jokes. And in fact, this painting up here, it's created by an artist in the UK. I don't know if you'd ever seen, there's a stormtrooper with a banana as a gun.
Yes.
That's meant to celebrate their aiming prowess. And I ended up printing out shirts with the stormtrooper and the banana as a gun, because I was always feeding the people in the cast. If you're recording something and your stomach is growling, it's problematic. So I would make sure that everyone was fed. So I had like hard mom energy, even though I don't have any kids, but I am Italian. And if you're hungry, I can't relax. So, so I was always giving everyone bananas, because they immediately stop the growling in your stomach. So it became like an inside thing. And Stephen Quick, the artist who created that little meme, I asked permission and I made the t-shirts and I sent them out to fans at, you know, who are fans of the first season. And I brought them to events with me. And there are certain people, I believe there's a group up in Toronto, the 416 fan group, whatever, they're on my Instagram. I love them so much. They have their stormtrooper shirts and, anyway, it became like a whole inside thing, but it was just lovely to see us all come together. And we hoped it would be as meaningful as it was. And we were delighted when that in turn actually occurred. So I'm very grateful that our love of the franchise paid off.
So you did touch a lot of people, because we have a fan here who says Hera is her favorite character.
Oh, that's so awesome. She's mine too. I often ask, what would Freddie do? Because Freddie's probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. But sometimes I also ask myself, what would Hera do? Because while I know she lost Kanan, spoiler alert, hopefully everyone's seen it, you know, that she was so focused on the cause that she lost that time with Kanan. But at the same time, her ability to focus is something that I love her ability to bring out qualities in people that they didn't know they had. I love her ability to bring people together and help them know that they're loved, and that feeling of found and chosen family. It really inspires me. And in fact, it governs, you know, half of what I do, even here in this live stream studio. I'm really excited. My whole goal is to have fun and pay it forward. And I'm starting with my Women Crush Wednesday live stream. Yeah, it's at 5 p.m. Pacific on my Twitch channel, which is at Vanessa Marshall 1138-1138. And you can get more information on my website, vanessamarshall.com, about sort of my goals. And I support various charities while playing the video games that I voice alongside other voice actresses who are in the games with me. I had my first Galentine's Day stream last week with Gray Delisle. She was here. We tried to play Marvel versus Capcom, but unfortunately my controllers decided to freeze and be completely psychotic. No. Then I even had my friend's fighting stick, like huge thing. Even that wouldn't talk to the PlayStation. I don't know what happened, bro. I was very upset about it. But I'm learning, and next week I'm having Susan Eisenberg, who's the voice of Wonder Woman in Injustice 2. I play Black Canary's voice in Injustice 2.
That's so cool.
Yes. So I'm going to try. I really like the fighting games. I'm not a violent person. I am a martial artist, but I love Street Fighter. I love playing Marvel versus Capcom. There was no Cammy, which upset me, but what are you going to do?
No.
Yeah, the voice of Cammy lives in Texas, by the way. So, Be on the lookout. Mm-hmm. Not to go, doctor. Ray. I think everyone knows that, so I'm not.
But, well, I got a question for you since you brought up Freddie Prinze and Kanan. So, since Hera has Jason, what would Hera want Jason to do? Follow in her footsteps or become a Jedi?
If he's force sensitive, probably become a Jedi. Okay. That was my question. I mean, he didn't get my Leku, so
yeah.
I don't know. I think he's going more on the other side of things. I don't know. I hope he's a Jedi, and I hope that I hope he can make a difference in that way. That would be amazing.
Okay, yeah. So continuation to that. Would you want Ahsoka to train him, or would you want Ezra to train him? That's hard.
You know, I think I would choose Ahsoka for balance.
Nice. Yeah.
Ezra is a maverick of sorts, and he's lucky a lot.
True.
And now, not denigrating him in any way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Deal with me if well, Ahsoka, I guess, has some of the same story. I was going to say that, you know, if everything went south with Order 66 before Kanan was a full Jedi and he's taught Ezra, you know, now Ahsoka left the Jedi Order. So one could say, you know, she has a similar issue, but there's a level of discipline with Ahsoka that I think would serve Jason to balance things out. And then I could see him rolling with Ezra.
I
think that would be a good combination, because Ezra flies by the seat of his pants and is perfectly executing everything. And it's astonishing how talented he is at times. And, but I don't know that he would transmit the discipline that Ahsoka would.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah.
But I would hope that he did team up with Ezra so that he could learn some of that as well. Because what Ezra has can't be taught in a way.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They would be a force to be reckoned with if they were to team up together.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Zach?
Man. Oh, these are so great, Vanessa. I just want to say thanks again. This is incredible. I love hearing all the little behind the scenes stuff that feed into the show that we all love. And it's just so great. But I'll try to carry on to this next question here. This is kind of a, I guess, if you can answer this sort of question, because there probably is a bunch of different answers you might have. Do you have a favorite moment as, I guess, you were in the booth recording for Hera with other castmates, or I guess something that you really enjoyed, I guess, while you were recording lines with the other Rebels crew?
There were so many.
I can only imagine.
You know, I mean, I wasn't there for Sabine's lightsaber scene, but watching that was so momentous. Her work was beyond, you know, obviously I wasn't there for that. I believe it's was it the trailer for the fourth season? Filoni had texted me what felt like a limerick of sorts, like there was this, there was that, and along came this and this and that. And he texted it to me when I was in the booth and he said, read that. And I was like, okay. So I did. And he said, okay, delete it. And I was like, oh, okay. He said, show me your phone. I'm like, dude, it's deleted. And he said, okay, bye. I had no idea what that was. And then when I'm sitting in Celebration down in Orlando, was that 2017 or 19?
2017.
Yeah. And then, you know, they lower the lights and they bring up, oh man, whew, like, whoa, you know, to hear that, I was like, this guy, like, what? I mean, the elegance of that gesture, to first of all, trust me with that moment of announcing the fourth season in that way was so deeply moving to me. And there were a number of moments like that. I mean, so okay, we had the season of the Clone Wars that came out where, let's see, I think Qui-Gon is with Yoda. And yeah. they're chopping it up. And I had like a million questions for Dave. And like we ended up hanging after. And I just like, I get so emotional because I remember like sitting in my car after that. And I got to ask him like all these questions about Qui-Gon. And I to hear him explain it in real time, I just was like, I got in my car and I was like, whose life is this that I just don't even understand how I'm so blessed? Like, I just like, it just meant the world to me that he took time to explain to me exactly what was going on in that moment. And, he's so accessible and lovely and kind. And, it was moments like that. I mean, but also like I mentioned before, like when Sam Witwer was trying to manipulate Ezra with the holocron in that one episode, I had chills to be near that level of talent and be so concerned for Ezra's safety that I truly felt it in my body, my concern for his welfare. I can only imagine. I never got to do any of the scenes with Thrawn. But when I watched the scenes with Thrawn, I felt that same level of discomfort and anxiety. And it's just amazing to me that the story could yield such profound responses from all of us in real time. And then, of course, you know, with the incredible animation it was united with and married with and ultimately created this experience that was even more profound than what happened in the booth. Like every moment of it was delightful. So it's kind of hard to choose.
Yeah.
That was a great answer. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
So the question we're following up with that. Okay. Us guys, you know, guys, we're not supposed to cry, but.
dude, I'm holding back tears.
Okay, man, it's hard not to. We love this story. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
So the one that hit me the most, and I didn't see it coming. And right now it hits losing Kanan.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a blow that I was not expecting. And I guess when you're a fan, when this show came out, I think the first thing in my mind that popped in was, how are these characters going to fit into the trilogy and like Star Wars going forward? And from season one all the way to season four, you just fell in love with every character because of just everyone did a fantastic job. And you get to the final season and you don't know what's going to happen. And you think, oh, Kanan has saved Hera. Yeah. Everything's going to be okay. And then boom.
Yeah.
You hear the walker creep around the corner. And oh my gosh.
And well, and just the music too was just haunting, and it was just
it was a lot.
Yeah.
Well, okay, a couple few things. First, yes, that moment was devastating. The animation amplified that to excruciating levels of loss. It was some of the most beautiful animation, the colors when his eyes light up. It's hard not to lose it. It was a symphony of the moment.
Yes.
When Ashley left the Order, when the end of that episode, when she walks away and it's silent, like that hit. Similarly, right? But then here's what's beautiful, that we get so much more Ahsoka after that. I'm just like, okay, it's gonna be okay. Kind of like we got Asajj Ventress back in Bad Batch. Like everything's gonna be okay. When in the world between worlds, when Ezra is there and we hear Kanan's voice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. It's okay. Like there was something that kind of brought it full circle, you know? And I've said this before that Filoni had that moment occur in the middle of the episode so we could all heal through it together rather than have it as a momentous cliffhanger. We did get through it together. And I did earnestly cry those tears there as Hera. Like I felt that. I felt that loss, you know?
Yeah.
The journey that we all went on as a cast and as a Star Wars family, like that we went on together, it is, I really think it has left an indelible mark. I mean, when I met Ashley for the first time, I 100% ugly cried, like 100% fangirl losing it, nerd meltdown. Yeah. I couldn't help it, you guys. I tried to be professional, but I was just like, you know, she showed up to the first record session. She had gifts from her universe. I was like, who makes humans like this? Like, who is this? This is crazy pants. Like, she's giving me a gift. This is Ahsoka. Like, this is Snips, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, but just that generosity of spirit and, you know, anyway, I'm forever grateful to the Star Wars narrative for giving me opportunities to heal wounds of my own. And that we can all do that together, that they even have the wisdom and foresight to know that we can all be brought together through these stories is just supremely valuable. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. I'm beyond grateful, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look, Retro Ray, when you were trying to make this, we were trying to make this interview happen for maybe over a year. And
yeah.
My dad had a medical issue and, you know, Star Wars family is Star Wars family. And fine. Maybe I need to wear a cowboy hat and not be so personal with people, whatever. But I know that as Star Wars family, I could say to you, yo, my dad is going to the hospital. He has to have an emergency operation. This, I would love nothing more than to talk Star Wars with you, but I need to be a good daughter right now. And you wrote back like, you know, be with your father and take care of him. And if there's anything we can do, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like that level of caring, it's not just in the narrative. Like we connect and we have mutual respect for each other. And you know, we're not guaranteed time here, but I do hope that I get to meet you guys in Texas and like 100% high five you. And like, I want to go to the comic book stores and, you know, life is so... I'm so grateful for all these opportunities to connect with people in ways that matter. Like it matters, you know, and I appreciate your compassion and your understanding and your humanity in return with my being vulnerable and letting you know, like, you know, and my dad is 100% fine now. He's like never been better. He's like bionic. So great. But anyway, I'm just grateful that the narrative sets the tone for us not to have bad boundaries with each other, but to be able to be real with each other. And, and, you know, sometimes that looks like disappointing people and understanding and growing closer as a result of those kinds of moments instead of, forget it. Or, you know, who knows? I mean, so thank you for being so kind and patient. And I'm beyond grateful to be here finally. So,
go get anything for you got, Colin?
Yeah. So you played this incredible role of Hera, and you kind of were playing this role of where her journey was kind of we didn't really get the origin of her story and everything. And then you have the show The Bad Batch. It comes out. And I was not expecting to, you know, really go to Ryloth, but all of a sudden there is young Hera with Chopper, and I was just blown away by just seeing that. How was that experience of coming back but playing a younger role?
It was so much fun. Yeah, because we really got to discover just how much of her courage and, you know, curiosity where flight is concerned, like how much of that do we show? Like, does she go from being a really, really shy, quiet little girl into this, you know, amazing pilot and you know, an incredible leader, or do we see seeds of that? How much of the Ryloth accent does she have? You know, so that we understand how much she's lost. We were really like, we fine tuned the dials together and discovered what we felt was the most vulnerable place for her to start to give us the most rewarding conclusion, which is, you know, four seasons of Rebels with her being as powerful and articulate as she is and strategic. So that was offered to me. They said, do you think you know, would you have any interest in trying to find her voice as a child? And I was like, 100%. You know, fluent in French, happy to do the Ryloth accent. And, you know, I one of my favorite arcs in the Clone Wars was the whole Ryloth story. Yeah. So, you know, to be born out of that and learn more about her relationship with her parents and how she came to discover flight, et cetera, was really just delightful.
Nice.
Yeah. That's really cool. And we got to see the Y-Wing that Chopper was in when it crashed on Ryloth, if memory serves me correct. I thought that was a really cool little tidbit.
There were a number of like, I don't know. There were a number of moments that were very touching, I felt.
So what, we reached...
Go ahead. So really quick, because I was always curious about this, because of for those who don't know, Dave Filoni has done some of the voice lines for Chopper. Was Dave Filoni like in the booth, like with you doing those lines, going wub 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 when you were doing it?
Never. Or was that he did all those by himself. So. I know. So when we had acting scenes where he had lines, we just skipped over them. You know, you just read them. It would say wop, 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 wop. And then underneath in parentheses, it said, I'm not going to that thing, or I didn't do it, or whatever. So we got the subtext of the thing, and we would just sort of read it and then say our line and read his thing and say our line. But he, for a long time, we didn't know who voiced Chopper at all.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Dang.
Wow.
Man.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, we reached a part of the podcast that you did mention Texas.
I did indeed. Let's go.
So we're working with RetroCon in Dallas, Plano.
Yeah.
And Vanessa has an announcement to make for you guys. What do you got for us, Vanessa?
Well, why don't you go ahead and make it? Because, I mean, if you're allowed to say it, I don't want to. I'm not sure if I'm allowed. Are you sure this is cool?
Yes.
Because I don't know how they've announced it.
As of we speak right now, as soon as this interview is over.
Really?
We are officially announcing that Vanessa will be in Plano, Texas, July 13th and 14th with Ahsoka and...
Ezra Gray. All right.
Yes.
So, guys, if you have not heard about the convention, they are going to be there. You got to buy your tickets.
Yes.
Come down, meet Vanessa, get a chance.
Will the comic books, the comic book place that you met, will they be on the floor? I'd love to meet them if they're there. Do you think
They're in San Antonio, but I'm actually meeting with them this Tuesday. And I'll see if I can have like a little table and have maybe by that time, if those comics are out, maybe try to get some comics for the comic book store there that you can sign for.
That'd be so dope. Yeah, that would be amazing. Like yeah. Yeah, and I've always wanted to go to Michigan. I'm going to Escanaba, Michigan, for something called BayCon. April 21st, I believe it is.
Sure.
I'll be in Escanaba, but someday I hope to go to Detroit. I'm going to fly through Detroit, but So if you go on my website, VanessaMarshall.com, you can click on events calendar. and the events calendar will tell you where I'm going to be all year long. So hopefully all of them have been announced, you know? I never know what that usually the event likes to announce it first and then I'm allowed to post about it. So,
Well, it's official. It is official.
It's official. Awesome. I can't wait. Yes. Yeah. Amazing.
You got anything else, guys?
I think the last question I have is your personal opinion, not Hera's, because I think we all know what Hera would say, but in your personal opinion, is the Ghost better or is the Millennium Falcon better?
Millennium Falcon.
All right. Okay.
Nice.
Please. <dude. laughs> Well, okay. So I talked to Pablo Hidalgo about it and I asked his professional opinion and he said, it depends on what your needs are.
Oh, true. That's very true.
He said, if you want to be more stealth and do more stealth operations, the Ghost may serve you better. There's an issue of the gunneries are different depending on your fighting power that's needed. He said they accomplish different things, but look, I'm OG Star Wars fan and I'm 100 grand going to bet on the Falcon. Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, nice. Yeah, I don't know. There's just nothing like it as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Sweet.
Absolutely. Well, there you go.
Shout out to Crimson Dawn, not Tide.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for taking the time and really nerding out with us. And,
this was great.
And honestly, it has been an absolute pleasure. So from all of us, I think it's everything. May the Force be with you.
Always. Thank you.